I don't know who he thinks is going to pass down old time religion to our kids, but it ain't going to be the school, and it ain't going to be when they go to college. It's going to be us. And old time religion is shouting and believing that book and praying and spending time with God and fasting. And it ain't about just having a steeple or having a building or what. It ain't about that, y'all. And the truth is, you don't see a lot of old time religion anymore. You don't see the real thing much anymore. Amen. I'm glad I got to be part of it. I'm glad the Lord saved me and I was born in the fire. Amen. I'm glad it's real. I'm glad I know what it means to really pray. Amen. I'm glad it know what. The song says whatever it takes, and I don't sing it very often, and it's honestly, it's just about hard to sing most places, but I hope there's liberty to sing it here. Sung it the other night, and the Lord moved, and some folks got help, and a friend of mine, Brother Rick, was preaching down the road, and I feel like the Lord's doing something in our church. I feel like He's doing something in my heart, and Brother Jason, and y'all just let Him do something for you tonight. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights closer to You, Lord. That's what I'm willing to do. Whatever it takes to be more like You, that's what I'm houses, take my land, change my dreams, change my plans, for I'm placing my whole life in Your hands. And if You'd call me someday to a place far away, Lord, I'll go. Your will I'll obey. I'll trade sunshine for rain. I'll trade comfort for pain. That's what I'd be willing. Whatever it takes to draw closer to You, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do.
Amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you, that's a mouthful tonight. Joy, that say amen. And that's a mouthful. That's a mouthful. So, Lord, whatever it takes for me to get close to You, that's what I'm willing to do. That's a mouthful. Well, tonight, as you know, I want to bring the message tonight. I want you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. And tonight, the way you and I respond to this message tonight will largely determine how the youth rally goes. One lady said, I knew you was going to preach on that and I just don't want to hear it. She didn't tell me that day, but said that about another. And she said, but I know you're right. I know you're right. And that's being honest about the flesh. That's just being honest about the flesh. We don't want anything that makes us uncomfortable. But any church, any ministry, any man that God has ever really blessed, somebody had to pay a price. It don't just come easy. Salvation is free, but the power of God comes at a price. And if we want God's presence and power to fall on us at our youth rally, then we got to be willing to pay the price. Here in Matthew chapter 6, follow along with me if you will, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now stop there just a second. What an illustration the Lord gives here. He said some of them hypocrites, when they're fasting, they go around like this. They disfigure their faces. He says, what's wrong with you? I'm fasting for the Lord. Now, he said, all the reward you're going to get is right there. People bragging on you, that's it. Amen. Listen, fasting is hard work. It ain't worth that. I mean, I ain't going to do it just because somebody brag on me. I don't want nobody brag on me that bad. But look what he said. Verse number 17. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Isn't that something? And that counts with anything. Pray and fast and anything. If you do it to the Lord will reward you. Now, what he said, wash your face, comb your hair, brush your teeth, act like, so nobody would never know it. The people at work never know you're fasting. The people that you deal with, now we proclaim a public fast, and that's in the Bible, but we don't go all at work and tell everybody, I'm fasting. You know, you don't do it to be seen of men. Brush your teeth. Amen? Listen, after you fast a day or two, toothpaste tastes good. I taste it, I love that toothpaste. I'm going to swallow it, but you spit it out. That's right. It starts tasting like steak. After you ain't ate in a while. But I'm going to preach about that tonight, and I'm going to preach a little bit different than I have the last few years, and the subject is, why do we fast? Why do we fast? Tomorrow begins our 40-day fast that we've done for the last several years for the youth rally. I would strongly encourage everybody in here to take part in it. There is not one person in here who can't fast some. Now, the definition of fasting is going without physical nourishment for a time that you've set aside to seek God's presence and power, or for an answer to prayer. That's what fasting is. Fasting is not a hunger strike. Fasting is not just something to benefit us physically, although there's a lot of physical benefits to fasting. It's not just that. Fasting is denying our flesh physical nourishment for a certain amount of time to pray and seek God's presence and power for answer to prayer. In other words, while we're fasting, we give extra time to prayer and extra time to Bible reading. My friend down in Florida, Brother Wayne, he was here a few weeks ago. Brother Wayne has done several extended fasts, like a week or something like that. And doctors, the right kind of doctor, will even tell you that several days without food is good for you physically, majorly good. Bring your blood pressure down, your cholesterol, your triglycerides, all of those things. I mean, you do it enough and regular, and it will keep you. What does every doctor say? High blood pressure, diet and exercise, diet and exercise. Every one of them says that. And so that's just physical benefits. We'll talk more about that a little bit. But Brother Wayne told me, he said, Brother Danny, he said, now what I do when I fast, he said, read my Bible. He said, I'll read my Bible and I'll pray. And he said, it'll be 9 o'clock. And at 9 o'clock, He said, I'll get down and I'll really, really pray for a while. And I'll pray and I'll pray and I'll pray. 9:20, 9:30, something like that. He said, then I pick my Bible back up and I'll read a bunch of chapters in the Bible. At 10 o'clock, I'll pray again. Every hour on the hour. Now, if you're working in a public job, of course you can't do that. But in your head and in your mind, you can still do it. He said, every hour on the hour. When I have to work, or I have to go visit the hospital, or I have to go do something, I'm supposed to go to court this Wednesday with a guy trying to help him stay out of prison. And it's if I sit in courtroom a part of the day over in Asheville this week, then I'm gonna sit there and it ain't gonna be fun. But I can keep my mind. I don't have to listen to that junk. I can keep my mind on the Lord and pray. You can do it at work. But in other words, what I'm saying is, when you're denying the flesh physical nourishment, then you ought to give that time that you would have been eating and other time to the Lord for your fast. It's not going to hurt y'all, anybody in here, to fast some. You say, well, I get a headache. That's, you know what that is? That's the poisons coming out of you. And you know when you get that stuff on, you know, when you don't eat, you get that white junk on your tongue? That's literally your body getting rid of the toxic and the poison. That's good for you. You know, old J. Harold Smith fasted 40 days, I think more than once, several times. I got two friends of mine, preacher friends, who did that. And J. Harold Smith said when he done on a 40-day fast one time, he said his tongue turned as pink as a little baby. He said every blemish on his skin went away, every spot, everything. He said his skin was like a child. And that's what it does. Because we fill ourselves up with food so much that we're just like a big old Twinkie walking around. If you used to squeeze us real hard, it'd squirt every direction. And so what you do is you deny it. Now, this old flesh will fight you. And I don't have really an outline I'm going to preach about tonight, but I'm going to talk about some things. But this old flesh will fight you. Tell you what I used to do it years ago. I still do it once in a while. I'm going to fast, right? So when I fast now, I'm not watching ball game. I love basketball, y'all know, but when I fast, I'm not going to deny my flesh and say I'm fasting and then let my flesh enjoy a ball game. I'm going to give that time to the Lord. So it's a good time to turn your TV off. I just turn it off. I used to go in the motel room, and first thing I'd do, because I know the devil's going to get you, just like what's ball game you, I'd go over and I'd unplug the TV. And that way, when you're tempted, you won't be able. And I've done this many times, many times. I used to take a youth rally flyer like this, and I'd tape it on the front of the TV. Now, you know why I done that? Because every time I'm tempted to just lay there and watch TV, I'll look and I'll see that youth rally flyer. And I'll think, them kids, them kids, them kids, them kids. Some of them go to hell if they don't get saved. Some of them will burn in hell if they don't get saved. You say, oh, they'll probably get saved somewhere else. No, we can't think like that. Listen, the revival that I got saved in, there's a woman in Nebo didn't eat a bite for 3 days and 3 nights. I did not know her. And I'd been to that church, Nebo Baptist Church, a bunch of times growing up and did not feel nothing. No conviction, nothing. There was a lady prayed for 3 days and nights. And when she got through, the Lord said, go 3 more. She prayed 3 more days and nights and fasted. And the Holy Ghost came on Nebo and I got saved. She didn't know me. I didn't know her. But God come down in that community. And brother, he saved me. That's why Shining Light Baptist Church is here tonight. Because the lady and others fasted and prayed and made a place for the Holy Ghost. And the power of God came down. Wouldn't you like to see that again? I would. Wouldn't you like to see the Lord just fall in that youth rally? And you know, we're in danger. We are in danger. And the danger we are in is you get to thinking, the Lord moves every year at the youth rally. It don't matter. That's the wrong way to think. It can be a flop. Amen. It ain't yet, but it could be. We can be the first. Pride goeth before destruction. Haughty spirit before fall. We need God. We need God more than we did last year. We need God more than we did the year before. We need God more than we did 5 years ago. We need God more than we did 10 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, I go in that motel room, put that thing on that, and I say, all right, I'm not watching TV. I'm not letting my flesh enjoy nothing. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to beg God, and it'll work. Now, in the Bible, fasting, the correct definition of fasting is not eating. I meet people all the time that try to wiggle around and say, well, isn't there other meanings? So, I mean, like, can't you fast chocolate? Or just can't you fast Mountain Dew? The truth is, we don't really need that. Anyway, and no, that is not fasting. That giving up chocolate for a week and then cramming in popcorn is not fasting. Amen? Giving up Pepsi and drinking high C for a month is not fasting. Fasting is not eating. That's what it means. That's what it means. Not eating. Lady told me, she said, Brother Danny, I can't stand it. I just can't do it. One guy told me, he said, I can't fast. I have hypoglycemia. I said, what's that? And he began to tell me that, and he said, well, you can't go. I said, well, you can go a few hours, can't you? And he said, yeah, I reckon. I mean, everybody can some. You may not be able to do it for some physical reason, but again, it'll cleanse body and soul. What if I sit up here tonight and I said, I have a plan, and this plan will help you feel better. You will lose weight. You will have more. It'll make you money. Put money in your pocket. You'll be happier. You'll live longer. It's free, and it'll help your whole family. Why, everybody sign up. Everybody in here would sign up. You say, well, I ordered Nutrisystem, preacher, and I got on and I ordered Nutrisystem, and I eat four meals a day to lose weight, and it's working. Well, maybe it does. I'm not saying it don't, but I'm telling you one thing. I can tell you something cheaper than Nutrisystem. It don't eat nothing. Every time you're not eating nothing, you're going down. 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 And you keep eating, you're going up. You're going up. You're going up. You know how to get back down there? The opposite way I come up. It's easy to come down. It's hard to go up. Hey, man, this is eating. This is fasting. You know, it's a whole lot harder. Because eating's fun, brother. Eating is a great joy of life. And God's been good to us. But I want to say there's three types of fast in the Bible. First of all, there's a supernatural fast. Now, a supernatural fast is a fast that a person could not do unless God gave them power. And for you, that would be in an hour, some of you. Moses, he went up on the mountain and he went 40 days and nights without eating and drinking. That's supernatural. You can go 40 days without food. You cannot go 40 days without water. They say it can't be done. And then the weird thing about Moses' fast was when he come down with the Ten Commandments and he saw all them people down there dancing rock music, he got mad and brother broke all Ten Commandments at the same time. Amen. And you know what? We're not told this, but as far as we know, turned right around, went back up there and stayed another 40 days. That's 80. He might have had a little snack before he went, I don't know. He might have went to Krispy Kreme. Went to Golden Corral. I don't know. But still, brother, 1 out of 80 days, that's a supernatural fast. Man went right back up there again and stayed 40 more days and nights and got the commandments from God. Now, that's amazing. That's a supernatural fast. Secondly, there's an absolute fast. An absolute fast is when there's an emergency. Somebody's dying. Kid in a car wreck. And you've got to have God, like Ezra. And like some of them said, I did eat nothing. I did drink nothing. And Ezra went in there before the king. And she said, if I perish, I perish. It's when you're so tore up, you'll say, and I'm not eating a bite. God, do you hear me? God, hear me. And just lay on the floor and beg God not eat a bite. That's an absolute fast. And then there's what we call partial fast. And that's what we're going to deal with tonight. A partial fast is water, drinking water. No food, drinking water. I know people say, well, I drink juice, I drink whatever, and that's totally between you and God. I'm not saying you're wrong. In the Bible, they drunk water. Now, let's talk about that for just a few minutes tonight, and I'm just going to give you a couple things, and then we'll go. There's an example of a one-day fast in 1 Samuel 7:6. Did you know that a one-day fast is the most common fast in the Bible? The most common fast. You hear about the 40 days, the 20. There's only like one or two 40 days, Jesus and Moses, and then there's several three-day fasts, Esther chapter 4 and verse 16. There's a 14-day fast, Acts chapter 27 verse 33. There's a 21-day fast in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 3. And then, of course, a 40-day fast, Exodus 24:18. There's group fast in 1 Samuel 7 and verse 5, Nehemiah 9 and verse 1, 2, 3, Joel chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 to 10, and Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 through 23. What's a group fast? A group fast is when the whole town or the whole group, the leader, the governor, the sheriff or pastor or priest or whoever jumps up and says, "All right, we're in trouble. Nobody eat till God." That is a group fast. That's what we're going to do starting tomorrow morning. A group as a church, Shining Light Baptist Church, will begin tomorrow a group fast of 40 days. Now, you know what they did in Jonah's time? Buddy, in Jonah's time, the cows, the animals, the sheep didn't eat nothing. I was fasting here a couple weeks ago, a fast that I didn't even want nobody to know about. And I was fasting about stuff, and I pulled up my yard. Marley come up. Marley always, when she sees my car going up a driveway, here she'll come. Marley, she looks like the little Tasmanian devil, dog, ugliest dog you ever seen in your life. But I'm telling you, that dog got some manners and respect. She come running up there. She expects me to go in the house and get a piece of ham or a piece of bread or something and just throw it to her, because I always do. And I got out of the car, and I looked. There's nobody there, so don't think I'm crazy if I talk to a dog. I talk to her every time I see her. I walked in and said, "Hey, Mar." And looked at her and I said, "Marley, you're fasting." I said, "If I'm going to fast, you're going to fast." And I said, "Here's what we're fasting about." You say that's awful. It ain't going to kill them. Dog can do it fast better than we can. They have to all the time. And you say, "That's crazy, preacher. They did that in Jonah's time." You know what God did? He spared the whole city. Amen. Little foo-foo might need to go on a diet. You never know. Amen. That was a group fast. I tell you something, brother. Brother, will you listen to me tonight? You hear me? They said Senator Mark Hatfield back in 1995, he proclaimed a resolution of a national day of fasting. You never heard about that on TV, did you? That thing got shot down before it ever got off the ground. Amen. Yeah, you know why? Brother, people don't want to do it. Back in the spring of 1877 in Minnesota, they were threatened by locusts. The rich wheat fields of Minnesota, the locust was going to wipe out the whole thing. And it had done it the year before. Locusts come in and took out the crop. And the people were saying, "We're going to starve to death. We're going to starve to death." And the governor, John Pillsbury, proclaimed April 26th. Isn't that odd? That's the day of the youth rally. He said, "April 26th, as a day of prayer and fasting, every man, every woman, every child." And he said, "We're going to fast and we're going to beg God to have mercy on us." The next morning they got up and the sun rose and the heat got so hot. It was hotter than normal April. Those locusts come out of the woodwork. They were everywhere. And they said, "I thought we prayed and fasted. It didn't do a bit of good. There's millions and millions and millions of them." But God brought all them locusts out, and all those locusts were out there eating up the wheat fields. And that night it got clear and the temperature dropped and it come a frost and killed them all. And the people said that day, April 26th, went down in history as a day when God answered prayer. You know, it's not an accident I found that illustration, people. That was April 26, 1877. I'm going to tell you tonight, have I hear me tonight? The God that was God April 26, 1877 is the same God that's going to be God April 26, 2013. That's the day of the youth rally. Wouldn't you like to see your family in the altar? Wouldn't you like to see your brother, your sister, your mama, your family getting right with God? Wouldn't you like to see your kids get a hold of the real thing? Wouldn't you like to see the Holy Ghost fall on our teenagers and them get on fire? Then, brother, we'll pay a price. You never know what God might do. You never know what God might do. Kids need to know God's real. I said, all our Sunday school teachers, you have the unbelievable responsibility and privilege of standing in front of that class every week making God real to them. Your job is not just to teach them verses of Scripture. That's great. You ought to do that. Your job is to make God real to them. Kathy was up here the other night. She gave a testimony. And she said, it was an amazing testimony. It was really good. Kathy Parker, you know, Kathy was Me and Kathy worked together for many, many, many years, and she'd been one of the best friends I ever had. And she sat right over there tonight, other night at prayer meeting, and cried. Everybody here should have heard that testimony. She said, "I was teaching this bunch of little kids at church." You know how she is, all humble and all. And she said, "I was teaching these little kids at church." And she said, "I wanted them to know that God answers prayer." And she said, "There was six of them in my little class." And she said, "Now, boys and girls, we're going to know God answers prayer. God's going to answer prayer." She said, "Now, what would you like? And I'm going to show you how God answers prayer." So let's all say what we like. She thought one of them would say, "I want some Skittles. I want a pizza." And she saw in the back of her mind, she said, "Now, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to go out and buy. I'll go buy whatever they ask for. And then next Sunday, I'm going to come in here and say, 'See, the Lord provided it. See how God answers prayer.'" And she said, "I'm going to teach them how God answers prayer." And she said, "Now, what would you like?" And she said, "Boy, the Lord showed her right quick. He didn't need her help at all." He said, the first little boy said up and he said, "I want to pray that my mama will come next Sunday." She said, "Okay." I said, "Ain't nothing I can do about that, you know, because it's having a big day at their church next Sunday." And the next one near that said, "I want you to pray that my mama will come next Sunday." And they, all six of them, wanted them to pray that their mama would come. And the Lord said, "Okay, now, what was that you was going to answer all?" And God was saying, "I don't need your help one bit." And he said, "What are you going to do now?" He said, "You can't go make your..." And so she said, "Well, I reckon that I'll have to do what I've been telling them. I reckon we really will have to believe God." Like a man said, "Well, ain't nothing else we can do but pray." And somebody said, "Has it come to that?" Yes, it's come to that, brother. Yes, sir. That ought to be the first thing we do. Not the last. Well, anyway, she said, "I prayed all week, Brother Danny." She said, "I prayed my head off. I prayed my head off." She said, "The next week came." She said, "We had our big day." And she said, "I sit up there and one after another, five of those women walked in the church door." She said, "I went, 'Thank you, Jesus.'" And the Lord said, "See, I don't need you to prove to me. I don't need you to do my work for me and prove. I just want you to believe me." And she said, before the service got through, that sixth one walked through the door, and all six of them mamas was there, and all them kids said, "God really is real. God really does answer prayer." And I'm going to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? We get them, we teach them this, we teach them that, we teach them that. That's good. We ought to. But oh, Lord, we ought to pray, "God, let me show them that you're real and that they'll want to live for God when I'm dead and gone. If I am dead and gone, that they'll hang in there and serve the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, if we'll get on our knees and we'll call on the Holy One, the one that gave Moses the Ten Commandments, the one that parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel, if we'll call on Him and deny this flesh, there ain't no telling what God might. Amen. That's right. You go in Walmart. I went in there the other day and I seen that big old bulletin board of kid after kid after kid after kid gone. Have you seen this kid? Have you seen this kid? You know that could be some of ours. And might be. It's over with. Boys, I'd hate to walk in Walmart and see one of my grandkids' picture up there. I don't know how you could live through something like that. How could you stand that? Don't you think the devil wouldn't get every one of them if he could? Lord, have mercy. Mamas and daddies, can we push the plate back a little bit? Just a meal or two? Kids need to know. They did a bust in the Netherlands the other day. Well, it's been a couple of years ago now. The police raided an international pedophile association. Ring. The kids that were trafficked, human trafficking, were 7 to 13 years of age. And this group had 70,000 members. Where big shot rich businessmen travel to the Netherlands and Sweden and all those big places, and they have little kids brought to them for their wicked purposes. And I go, think about those kids. What kind of a mind are them kids going to grow up with? What kind? And it's going on right here in the United States more than we want to admit it is. They rescued 230 kids from 30 different countries. Did you know, I heard a testimony of an ex-Satanist on one of them Christian TV shows, a lady giving her testimony, and she said, my family was in Satanism. And she said, We had girls in there that were bred and brought forth babies just so they could be sacrificed. There's no record of their birth. They don't go to the hospital. Nobody even knows they're even here. And they have them to be sacrificed on an altar to Satan. You say, well, I don't believe that. You just don't want to believe it because you don't want nobody upsetting your little lifestyle that you've got tonight. Brother, somebody don't get a burden. I'm telling you, that tires me up. There's two kinds of people that break my heart, kids and drunks. Kids and drunks. And I'm telling you, my heart, when I see them bus kids come in on Sunday morning, something in me says, help them! Help them! Do something to help them! They're the only hope they've got. I don't look at them like, oh, what's them little brats doing in here? I mean, you think that sometimes. But I look at them like, I want to help them. I want to help them. I got a heart for them. I got a heart for them. God knows I do. I got a heart for them. Jonathan Edwards, he preached one of the greatest sermons that's ever been preached. Or I should say, read. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. How many of you had to study that in school? Well, I know y'all went to public school, so they don't teach you. Raise your hands again. All them Christian school people. You got that show? In college. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It's one of the great literary accomplishments, I guess, of the future, of the past, and that we study now. And Jonathan Edwards preached, and they said when he preached that sermon that night, grown men were hanging on the back of the pews. And some of them were saying, have mercy on this preacher! Hold him back! They said people was under conviction, Brother Jason, before he even started preaching. I was under conviction before I ever even went to church that night. I got saved. The Holy Ghost done had a hold of me, grabbing me before I ever even went to church and got saved, y'all. And if you tell the truth, you was too. Yeah. Lord, have mercy. I didn't know I was going to get saved, but something was dealing with me before I ever got to church. And that's what we want. That's what we need. We want some little old kid to get on a bus in South Carolina and say, I don't know why I'm going. I just feel like I need to. And I'm going to get on that bus and go to Morganton. And brother, get out. And then when I get here, they'll find out why they got here. How they got here and why. But when he read that sermon, they said grown men were crying out in the pews and even into the night after the service was over. But Jonathan Edwards never ate a bite or slept a wink for 3 days. You can read it. Read it. Look it up. And didn't sleep for 3 days. And they said he leaned over the pulpit and read it like this. And people were screaming out to get saved. So it's not all just in being demonstrative, and screaming and hollering and jumping around. I mean, I do that because it comes natural for me. But that's not where the power is. In the next 30 minutes, 29 teenagers will attempt suicide in this country. A whole high school and a high... Biggest freedom gets wiped out every year. Just suicide. 57 teenagers in America will run away in the next 30 minutes. Run away from home. 14 illegitimate babies will be born to teenage girls in the next 30 minutes in this country, and 22 will have an abortion. 22 will have an abortion. 14 deliveries, so that's 30... Six, whatever, eight, six, in the next 30 minutes. 36 babies. 685 will try drugs today for the first time. 100 will develop an alcohol problem today. With no power or conviction in most churches, we're feasting and not fasting. We're playing and not praying. We're growing in grease instead of growing in grace. What kills me is these wrestlers on TV, athletes, will starve themselves to get down to a certain weight to wrestle in their class. These models, them... You know them people couldn't be happy. Lord, they look like that microphone stand there. I mean, them some skinny people, buddy. They're bone. They starve themselves to look like that. I mean, if that's what they want to do, that's their business. But if a person can starve themselves nearly to death just to look good walking down the runway, unto the Lord, could we not go one day, and push that plate back and say nothing? I'll just give you a little personal testimony and I'm through. To me, when I fast, sometimes it's easy and sometimes it seems like I'm going to die. And it's mental. It's in your mind. The reason I know that is because I hardly ever eat till 12:30 anyway. Like tomorrow, I won't eat nothing till about 12:30. I've always done like that. I know breakfast is the most important meal. I eat breakfast at 12:30. I just do it. I've always done that. If I do eat in the morning, I want to eat the whole rest of the day. Once I start, man, it's on till 10 o'clock at night. So I don't usually eat till 12:30 and don't even want to. About 12:30 I start getting hungry. I say, man, I'm gonna fix me something to eat. Now, on the day that I fast, at 10:30 I'm saying, God, I'm starving. I wasn't yesterday. It's in you. You know, if your flesh thinks it ain't going to get nothing, it wants it even more. Ain't that right? And I'll tell you something else about fasting. Don't say, now I'm going to try to fast tomorrow. You ain't going to try to fast. You ain't going to do it if you try. I've never done it one time when I tried. Well, I'm going to try. Yeah, you won't. Only way I can do it is saying, all right, nothing more. Done deal. I don't care how mad you. I don't care. Got a headache. Shut up. You ain't getting nothing. That's the only way I can do it. I don't know about you. You may have more discipline, willpower, whatever. The only way I can do it is say, I'm not eating tomorrow, and that's it. Jesus did it. The Apostle Paul did it. The saints down through history did it. And every great man of God I've ever heard of in the past did it. You won't hear this on the radio because we're too much pleasing to set flesh nowadays. Now, I'm going to stop this evening. I got a preacher friend of mine that told me about the other day. He was having some health issues. He went to the doctor. And the doctor told him, he said, if you don't push back from that plate and quit, he said, you got two choices. Quit eating the way you're eating or die. And so he changed his diet. And he said, that's your two choices. And I thought, well, if we can do it for that, we can do it for our kids and our grandkids. I know a preacher, I got two preacher friends that did 40-day fast. I've never done nothing like that. I'm not a great faster. I am a regular faster, but I'm not a great faster. I've fasted regularly since 1990. But I'm not a long, extended time. I do it regular. But I got a preacher friend of mine who fasted 40 days. He lost 57 pounds during that time. And he said how that God moved in their church. He said it's amazing what the Lord did. Another preacher friend of mine, he said I had ear infections. And he said I had these ear infections. He said every so often I'd get an ear infection, I'd have to go get an antibiotic. He said every so often I'd be going to the doctor getting an antibiotic. He said me and a bunch of the men got a burden for our church, and we started fasting every Saturday. He said we just wouldn't eat nothing all day Saturday, and then meet and have prayer meeting, go to church Sunday. And he said my ears cleared up. He said they don't never bother me no more. And he said the power of God moved in our churches. That's why a sick dog won't eat. When a dog's sick, they won't eat. It's making itself better. And that's why when you're hurt real bad, you ain't got no appetite, because all the blood in your body is going to that wound or whatever, trying to heal it up instead of chopping up food. So that's physical benefits. But tonight, I want to challenge you, and I'm through. It's a little bit different than I do the past couple years. I have already been told that we have two or three people in our church that have either already started or going to start tomorrow on a long fast. Long. Some all the way to the youth rally, maybe. It's sitting here tonight in this room. Now, I'm not, unless the Lord really does something for me, I'm not one of them. But I am going to do what I believe the Lord would have me to do, and beyond what I normally do by His grace. Fasting itself, if you don't pray and get a hold of God, you're just wasting your time. I mean, you get physical benefits out of it, but nothing spiritual. It says prayer and fasting. Prayer, not just prayer, not just fasting. I go to camp meetings and preachers joke about it. Oh, you can fast all you want to. I'm going to the buffet. I've heard them get up and say, we're going to fast and pray. Yeah, you fast, I'll pray. Listen, that ain't a joking matter. We need to. I need to. We need to. Fast and pray. Not just praying, not just fasting. Both. Fast. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. If you've got a sin that's got a hold of you, some kind of lustful sin or some kind of addiction, anything, that's the way to get rid of it. And you won't get rid of it forever, but that's the way to break get power over it, is by fasting. That's right. That's right. Amen. If you say, well, Brother Danny, I'm just having doubts. I don't even know if I believe the Bible anymore. You need to get your head cleared out and your heart cleared. All right? Let's bow our head for prayer. Come on, Miss Destiny, just play something softly now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to start.